your take your songbook, you know. Y'all think it's easy. It's not. All right. First Samuel chapter 3. Help if I get in the right book, the Bible. I was in 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to read verses 11 through 14 together. And we're going to read this passage responsively. Leave your Bibles out. And I want to preach a little bit kind of at you. I'm going to more talk tonight, I think, than I am going to preach. So you have to listen on purpose. But 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to read verses 11 through 14 together. Ready? And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, in which both ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit, control my mind as I preach. Control our minds as we listen. And may we allow the Holy Spirit to work personally in each and every one of our hearts in a personal way, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Eli was the high priest of the temple. He had two sons, a young man named Hophni and the other named Phinehas. Those are funny names. Wasn't there a cartoon character, Phinehas? That's it. Tennessee Tuxedo. I remembered something about that, but I couldn't remember which one it was. My hair's not quite that gray to remember it, but it's getting there, amen. But these two young men, the Bible says, were very wicked, vile, sinful, and even evil young men. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 12, I think I could say this with full assurance. The Bible says, "Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." From what I can get in Scripture from that, it means they were not even saved. Belial, or Belial, however you want to say it, means son of the devil. And it said they knew not the Lord. That means the preacher's kids were lost and acting like a bunch of heathen. Best way to say it. They were not even probably saved. Now, I'm not here to judge. If you disagree with that, you can disagree. We're not going to separate over it. I can just tell you, the Bible says they were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. Right. These boys were lost doing God's work. They were performing the priestly duties as lost people. Matter of fact, they had no respect for God, nor God's things, nor God's ways. These two young men took meat from the sacrifices that were not theirs to be taken. They were taking God's portion. I'll be as careful as I can say this, but they were fornicating in the temple. Eli was a fat old man that could barely see, and he knew what his sons were doing, and he let them do it anyway. He was sad about what they were doing, but he did nothing about it. Why is it so hard for a parent to see their own children objectively? And by the way, I have three of my own, trust me. I understand. I know what it's like to have one that runs away from God and live ungodly. I had one do it. I had to kick one out of my home. Not the one that's leaving tomorrow. But I literally had to kick one out of my house because of the way he chose to live. I have been there. I'm not saying you stop loving them, but why do we change what we believe to try to get them to love us? We don't have to like what they're doing and look past their wickedness. We can love them in spite of their wickedness, but it doesn't mean you condone it either. God says something here in chapter 3 that I want us to look at tonight. By the way, I had nobody in mind when I said that, so if you think I'm talking about you, I'm not. I honestly have nobody in mind. I'm just using this as a springboard for what God wants us to get tonight from Scripture. God says here in chapter 3, verse number 13, because his sons made themselves vile, watch this, and he restrained them not. You see, God says that Eli restrained them not. Character, maturity, spiritual living, according to God, is restrained living. The word character literally means restrained. I took my wife and my daughter horseback riding on Friday, I think it was. And no, I'm walking fine. I'm okay, all right? It is kind of funny to watch my wife get off of a horse, though, because her legs are so short, even with the steps up to it. But anyway, I'm going to pay for that one dearly, I promise you. But my daughter is laughing louder than I. Now, can I tell you something? Those horses had all the power in the world you needed, but they were under restraint. You can go on those trail rides, and those horses are so trained, you don't have to do nothing. They're like riding the little pony at Walmart, just about, you know, just on you go. They just follow along. Yeah. Bubba was a little stubborn. He was wanting to eat for a while. That was mine. I'm good over this way a little bit, you know. But he and I got along fine, and it was all right. Now, the word character literally means that. It means restrained. It means having the power to do more but not using it. Just because you have the ability to do something does not make it right for you to do it. Just because you have the freedom to do something does not mean that you should do it. I often use this illustration. I like to hunt. But that doesn't mean when you go kill a deer and you process your deer in the field that you mount it on the hood of your car and drive through town saying, look at this, y'all. There's a propriety to that. Do I have the right to do it? Yes, I do. But there are a lot of people that would be offended by that. You say, well, you shouldn't make a decision based on that. Well, you shouldn't be so ignorant as to cause people to want to not like hunting. Right. I have the right to do it doesn't mean I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of it to where people don't see it. I'll do it the right way. It's a higher ethic, so to speak. You say, what is that? That's called being restrained. It's called when I went turkey hunting this spring, and I'd already killed one gobbler, and I was turkey hunting again, and I called, and here come three gobblers over the fence. Foof, 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 foof. The trouble was, they were all in one line, Brother Mike. I can only get two turkeys. And if I had pulled that trigger, there was more than one going down. And I kept thinking, come on, move, 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 move. And when they saw me, they moved. But they all moved in a line. And I still couldn't shoot them. I thought, you rascals, you. And I chose not to pull the trigger and take more than was legal to take. Right. I got done. I looked up and I said, I was obedient. Doesn't matter if I get another one. I obeyed. Right. I believe the Lord blessed that later. How? I don't know. Doesn't matter. I have the satisfaction in knowing I did right. I had more than one person say, well, preacher, that's just called collateral damage when you get others. I said, no, I don't play that way. I'll play by the rules. I don't think they were bad people. I just chose to do it a little higher way. I restrained myself. You don't know how hard it was not to go, boom. But I didn't. I've done that with deer. I've done that with a lot of different things. Now, I'm going to make a couple statements here. These are going to be harsh statements, but listen to me carefully here. You are not a good person because of what you do. You are a good person because of what you restrain yourself from not doing.
Yes.
You are not a good person because of what you do. You are a good person because of what you restrain yourself from not doing. Likewise, you are not a person of character because of what you do. You are a person of character because of what you restrain yourself from doing. You see, it's not always the act that you do that makes you good or gives you character. It's what you restrain yourself from doing that does. Did you know lost people can do good things, but it doesn't mean they're good people? There's not a murderer on death row that doesn't love his mama, and mama doesn't love him. And she'll tell you to the day they put poison in his veins or a rope around his neck, he's a good boy. No, he's not a good boy. He might be good to you, but that didn't make him a good boy. You see, when a baby is born, they don't know anything. They have no character. Did you know a child, an infant, has no character? That's why we have a nursery. It's not because the children are bad. They don't have the character to sit there and listen like they're supposed to. Okay? Please don't get mad at me for saying this, ladies. There is nothing as helpless and as dumb as a newborn baby. They don't do anything. Yeah, well, I didn't go there. My daughter tried to get me to say, Scarlett, isn't she so beautiful, Dad? I said, she's a baby. I'm not going to be offensive. Now, wait a minute. The only thing that they know to do is to suck, drink, cry, and exhaust. Did I say that appropriately? I worked real hard at that word, just so you know. You see, they have no restraint. You say, what do you mean? Have you ever changed a kid's diaper and while it was open, they exhausted again? I got to tell this story. When our son Jeff was Josh was born out in California, this lady, Kathy, would take care of our son for a while because my wife was teaching full-time and I was working 80, 90, 100-hour weeks. And every once in a while, Kathy would take care of him. Well, she had already had two boys. You'd think she'd know what to do. We came there one day to pick Josh up, and she was a mess. And she begins to tell us this story. She had his diaper off to get to change him, and he decided it was time to let her fly. And it was going all over the place. And the only thing she knew to do, she had a cotton ball sitting there, and she picked it up, and she's trying to chase it, you know. Instead of pushing the diaper over, she had it everywhere. I mean everywhere, all over her. He was painting the walls. We laugh so hard at her. You say, what is that? That's called no restraint. That is exactly what an infant does. There is no restraint to an infant. They have to be taught restraint. What is potty training? Teaching them to restrain themselves to do it at the proper place at the proper time. That's part of restraint, okay? And please bear with me. An infant cries when they want. They go to the bathroom whenever and whenever they want. They burp and barf whenever and wherever they want. And a baby has no character because they have no restraint. Oh, aren't you cute? Blah, all in your face, you know? Curdled milk, here you come, you know? Half cottage cheese. Just not what you know. I watched it happen more than once. Some daddy, oh, looky here. You know, and you wear it. You get baptized in barf. It's great. May I say this? We have an immature, characterless society because we have a world that has no restraint. Our nation is a nation of no restraint. You see, it seems like the only thing this old nasty world wants is to restrain that which is character and that which is good.
Right.
They don't want to restrain that which is bad or that which is evil.
You're right.
It's okay to the world that a man marry a man or a woman marry a woman. Or you can choose what you want. You don't have to even choose what gender you are. You can decide that on a daily basis. May I say something? That's wrong.
Yes, sir.
That's called no restraint. No wonder our world acts like a bunch of babies. We didn't get our way, so we're going to protest. No justice, no peace. Well, isn't it amazing? It's been through court, been through a judge, been through a jury. They've ruled on it, and you say it's not just. In other words, if they don't agree with what you want, it's unjust. So you are the judge and the jury. Where is that ever found? Everybody doing okay? I'm not afraid of this mess. I'm not for, and by the way, don't believe what the press says. These Nazi people are not right-wing extremists. They have nothing to do with the right wing. They're trying to label them with you and I. They put fundamental Christians on the same terror watch list as they put the Nazis under the Obama administration. Fundamental Christians are on the same list as the Nazis and the Muslims. Everybody doing okay? They want to put us in line with them. They have nothing in line with us. Nothing. Isn't it amazing? They had 12 people for Nazi rights in a march in D.C. They had 200 protesters against them, and it's the protesters that are beating up the other ones. But that's okay. Look at how the protesters act like mean little children that have no restraint. Well, we don't agree with you. We're going to get up and we're going to talk about bombing the White House, and we're going to get up and talk about killing President Trump, and we're going to hold a picture of President Trump's head up that's been cut off. We're going to do plays as we murder the president. And this is all okay because this is our freedom of expression. And yet I can't get up and call sodomites a sodomite without risking being in trouble. I use the term sodomite, not the LGBTQ garbage, because sodomite is a biblical word. And they hate it, just so you know. There is no restraint in the press today. There is no restraint in education today. There is no restraint in politics today. There is no restraint in spending today. There is no restraint in Hollywood today. There is no restraint on greed today, and there is no restraint in sports today. There have been 656 professional football players arrested since the year 2000. That's an average of 40 arrests a year. And yet, they want to kneel during the national anthem.
60%
That's it. May I say this? There's no restraint. Do you know what would happen when I was in Little League, if we'd have gotten a fight over a ball game? Man, I'd have got thrown out, not of the game, out of the league. You didn't even talk back to an umpire and say, "Are you sure that was a strike?" You got thrown out of the game. Now we let players kick, scream, fight, get in brawls and everything else. I'll promise you, we could fix it that quick. First offense, you're out the rest of the year. If you ever have a second offense, you're out of baseball and forfeit your contract and all your money. We'll solve the problem real fast. We'll get rid of these big overpaid babies for blubbering around on a field somewhere. Everybody doing okay? Amen. By the way, I don't watch NFL football. You can if you want, but I'm not watching a bunch of unpatriotic idiots out there. Amen. Eli's sons were so wicked because they had no restraint. Parents, we need to teach restraint as a way of life. Life is not getting everything you want. We as leaders need to teach followers life isn't about getting everything you want. If I got what I wanted, I'd unpack my daughter's truck tonight.
Yeah, I'll help.
She would too. That's if I got what I wanted. But I will restrain myself to give her what she needs. I'll push her out the door to give her what she needs. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you get all you want in life, you probably don't have much character.
Right.
Nor the satisfaction of those who do have character. I'll make a statement here. Giving people everything they want and only what they want is not teaching good character. Teaching restraint is good character. Giving kids everything and not restraining them only ruins our children. Yes. If you did this, I don't know about it and don't want to know about it. But buying a brand new vehicle because a kid graduates from high school and giving it to him isn't real smart. That's called no restraint. That's it. You get the leftovers, kid. That's why I bought the truck with 123,000 miles and gave her the one with 210,000 miles on it. Amen? Say why? It's restraint. Yeah, I even sold it to her, made her buy it. Amen? Say why? Teaching restraint. Teaching restraint. Listen to this very, very carefully here. Wanting your children to like you instead of restraining them will ruin your children. I'd rather my child not like me and do what is right.
That's good.
Than my child to like me and me let them live wrongly in my presence. You say why? Because character is more important. Character is more important. Restraint is more important. My wife and I would like to do some things eventually in life, but we've waited a long time to do them. We've been married 29 years before we started our first house that we're going to build and the only house we're going to build. I'm done. I'm buying my wife some new furniture. You say, why? Because I bought her 3 pieces of new furniture in 30 years. That's it. That woman has lived with borrowed and given furniture the whole time we've been married. I decided we were going to wait till the kids were gone so we could enjoy it and they weren't going to destroy it.
Amen.
Amen. We waited. Can I tell you something? We're going to enjoy it. We are. And by the way, my kids are excited for us. Can I tell you something? You don't have to have everything you want right now. There are some places I'd like to go and take my wife. We haven't been. It might take us another 10, 20, 30 years, but we might get there. If not, we'll go there during the millennium. No big deal. You know, my life is not going to be marred if I don't take my wife somewhere. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Eli did not restrain his sons. He was a fat, uncharactered man himself, then let his lost children run the work of God. Eli knew what they were doing and how wicked and evil they were, but he let them continue in spite of that. I hate to disappoint you. Someday I may have to fire somebody on a staff that's not living right.
Right.
It won't bother me a bit. I'll hurt for them personally, but I'm not going to let them hurt the work of God.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm hoping to hire people that I don't have to do that with. But the laws of sin and nature are there. It could happen.
Yep.
Good character is based on restraint, not what you do. Just like good deeds do not save anyone, good character is not based on good deeds. It's based on restraint. Did you catch that? Your salvation is not done by your good deeds. Nor is good character based on your good deeds. It's based on your restraint. Now, I think I have three quick points here and a poem and we're done. Amen. Number one, we need to restrain our wrath. Turn to Psalm 76. Psalm 76. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Hang on. We're going somewhere. Psalm 76, look at verse number 10. Psalm 76, verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. God says we're to have our wrath, our anger, our temper under restraint.
Yes.
There are times to get angry. God says, be angry and sin not. It doesn't say be wrathful and sin not. Wrath means hot, out of control. I just have a short fuse, preacher. No shorter than anybody else's, honey. Just don't live next to the candle. We don't need to let people know every time we're upset. Well, I don't express my anger. Doesn't take a rocket science. I didn't say anything. You didn't have to. Do you know there's times I get upset, but you'll never know it? You say, why? Because I'm supposed to have it under control. I'm not always supposed to show how angry I am. I walked into the meeting at the county the other day. I really wasn't real happy. I sat at the head of the table on purpose. I walked into the room first. I chose what chair I was sitting in. The office manager said, Pastor, you called the meeting. You're in charge. Thank you very much. Here we go. And on we went. You see, we don't need to let everybody know every time we're upset. Do you know the best thing to do is teach your children not to express every time they're angry? Now, they need to learn to express anger appropriately at the appropriate time, but just because they got a quick temper doesn't mean that you let them express it. We're not, hang on, we don't need to blow off steam. We need to let the Holy Spirit control us so we don't need to.
Right.
Well, I just need to go blow some steam off. That means you're out of control. That means you're trying to control it instead of the Holy Spirit. Everybody doing okay? You know, I've never heard the Holy Spirit yell at me, Brother Mike. Not one time. So why do we have to yell at each other? Okay, moving on. It's getting mighty quiet in here. We should not let anger control us. It's something we are to use like a tool. Anger is an emotion that you are to choose to use as a tool. Not just because something frustrates you. If I get angry, I choose when to get angry. I mean that. Now, I can't tell you I'm perfect at it, but I've learned how to choose when to get angry. If there's somebody that needs a chewing, I got to work myself into it because I don't like chewing. I don't chew gum. I run my mouth enough, I don't need any exercise there. I don't like to chew anybody out, but every once in a while I'll have to chew on somebody and I'll say, now, I'm going to get a little tough with you here. I want you to listen to me. Every once in a while with a young person or something, I'll have to say, hey, listen to me. I'm gonna get in your grill for a second here. Now listen to me. Now, I don't have to yell and scream, but I can get pretty intense and do a pretty good chewing. Everybody doing all right?
Mm-hmm.
Protest marches, the music of today, freedom of expression are all forms of anger that are out of control in America today.
Right.
Listen to the filth and vile music of our society today. Fights on ball fields and at sporting events is not an acceptable way of expressing your anger. Fire them all and don't support them financially by going to their games. I got to move on. Number two. So much I want to say right there. Government and globalism needs restrained. Government and globalism needs restrained. Turn to Genesis chapter 11. If you didn't get mad, you're about to. Genesis chapter 11. I want you to look at verse number 6. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. In this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." A world with no borders. Read that again. And the Lord said, this people is one. Everybody's going to be the same. And they all have one language. And this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. San Francisco, it's okay, the government will pass out needles to do heroin and cocaine with. And they'll let people urinate and go to the bathroom all over the streets, and it's legal, but it's made illegal to use a plastic straw. Yeah. Save the whales. They have outlawed and banned the use of plastic straws because it might hurt the Mother Earth and globalism, and it's getting part of global warming. Conceal carry in the state of California is you got to take your straw with you to McDonald's. Everybody doing okay? I thought that one was pretty good. I worked at that one now. Can I tell you something? God made us different for a reason. Amen. There is to be a difference. God separated us. He didn't bring us together. When liberals say they want us to have unity, no, they want unification. Right. They don't want unity. I said this before. You know what your enemy is by how they criticize you. When the liberals say President Trump's a Nazi, they're the ones using Nazi tactics.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? Nancy Pelosi is closer to Hitler than Trump by far.
Yes.
Look at what she believes. Then go read Mein Kampf. Find out what Hitler did. Nancy Pelosi's following Mein Kampf by the letter of the law. So is Chuckie Schumer. And Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah.
When he can get up and say, well, America never was that great anyway. Yeah, I'm like President Trump. Let him run for president. This is an easy win. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Every human life is valuable. We're not to base it on color or race.
Right.
Did you know people's souls have no color?
That's right.
I don't give a flip what color somebody's skin is. I really don't. Good night, I'm so colorblind I can't tell anyway. It really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the language is, but may I say this? We need to drop the African-American, Mexican-American, Latin-American-American, Eskimo-American, natural Native-American, German-American. You know, if you're American, you're American. Okay, because your ancestors emigrated here 200 years ago doesn't mean you have much of that in you.
That's right.
Hate to disappoint you. I had one of the ambassadors of South Africa that got saved in our church in South Carolina. Got saved out on teen soul winning and came to church. I baptized him. He got up and preached in my black teen department in Charleston, South Carolina. He got up and said, "How many of you are African Americans?" I had probably 170 kids and adults out there. Every one of them raised their hand. He said, "Where at Africa were you born? Where at in Africa were you born?" No, he said, "Anybody here born in Africa?" He was as white as I am. He said, I guess I'm the only African-American in the room. I was born in Africa, and I just became an American. Man, did he shut the room up in a hurry. Made his point real clear. Can I tell you something? If you're an American, be an American.
Amen.
And please don't take this the wrong way. We don't need the Mexican flag, the Puerto Rican flag, the Dominican Republic flag. We don't need the African flags. We don't need the European flags flying. We need the United States flag flying the right direction.
Amen.
Not upside down. We need to be patriotic and support the patriotism of America and not the socialism and the liberal sewage of today. We don't need to support the NFL.
That's right.
Sorry. We don't need to support the NBA stars like LeBron James. Everybody doing okay? We need to restrain the indoctrination of our public education of today.
Right.
Public education is the indoctrinational field that is breeding this generation of socialism in America. Evolution is part of communism and socialism. It gets rid of God. Rewritten history that was started under FDR. The savior of the world. FDR was a communist. Compare the Communist Manifesto to the New Deal. Point for point. You'll find out the New Deal was a rewritten form of the Communist Manifesto. Everybody doing okay? President FDR is the first president who was educated outside of a home school or a private school in America. And he's also the one that said, let's rewrite the textbooks and include evolution. And rewrite history to get rid of some of the bad things in history. History is a record of truth, not what we want it to say. By the way, our public education is now teaching a non-gendered society. That if you have a mommy and a daddy that are biologically mommies and daddies and not genetically altered, then you're in the minority. And you should be ashamed because you have somebody that's normal. That's what public education teaches today. You say, where is all this stuff coming from? Public education. You will not find public education anywhere in the Constitution of the United States of America. It is not the government's job to educate the children.
Amen.
Now, I'll go to my grave fighting that one. I'm not against you if your kids went to a public school. I'm not against you if you went to a public school. But I will say this. Those of us that are in our 50s and older, what's being taught today is a whole lot different than what you got taught when you were in school. When you were a kid, you were taught to trust the teacher. Average salary for an entry-level teacher in this area is about $48,000 to $50,000 a year plus benefits for 9 months' work. And our teachers can go on strike because they have to pay an additional $15 a month for their insurance. You go to Loudoun County, entry-level teachers down there are making about $70,000 plus benefits. That's entry-level. Once you have tenure, you're in six-figure incomes for a nine-month-a-year job. I'm not saying teachers don't work. I've been involved in education a long time. My wife was a teacher for over 20 years. I understand what educators go through. But it's still a part-time job. Anybody that's my age or older, when you went to school, all of your teachers had second jobs. Most of them either worked construction or they had a husband that worked full-time. Or they worked in emergency medical services or fire departments and things and did that on the side. Say why? Because it was still considered a part-time job. It's not a full-time job, full-time a year. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Okay, hang in there. I got to get point number three in because I'm running behind. Next, we need to restrain our fleshly desires. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I am going to be past 7 o'clock tonight. Let me rephrase that. I am past 7 o'clock tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 11. 1 Peter 2, verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, watch this, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. The word abstain there in the Greek is the word restrain. Refrain. We need to tell ourselves no. We need to be able to look at the mirror and say no. We need to be able to look at what we want and say no. There are some things I would like to get and like to do, but I've said no because I don't need it right now. There'd be some nice things to have that probably I could afford at this moment. But I know what's coming in the next couple months that I want to do for my wife in our house, so I've said no till I get those things, then I'll decide whether we can handle it then or not. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
We need... We need to restrain our food appetites.
Amen.
Ouch.
Eat us out.
Yeah.
There you go.
We need to quit eating ourselves to death.
Yeah, cheeseburger
home. Ouch. Notice I said we.
Lord help us.
Yeah. I'm just going to pass by that one. Amen.
Moving on.
Folks, we need to get our eating under control. The Baptists don't have a lot of vices, but eating's one of them.
Yes, sir. You're right.
I was at the doctor with Dad the other day, and we were looking at the BMI chart.
Oh, that's evil.
Yeah. I am not going any farther with it. But I will say this. It's a goal. We all ought to work towards. Not a one of us that couldn't do without a whole lot less than what we live on. Some of you could cut your budget by $100 a month. Most of you could cut it by more than that if you quit eating fast food. Everybody doing okay? Yeah, the blood is running at the altar tonight. Actually, it's grease, all right? Yeah, we need to restrain our food appetites. We need to quit eating ourselves to death. We need to restrain ourselves financially. We need to get the plastic under control. We need to quit buying everything we want because we've got the money to buy it right now. Everybody doing okay? And what some people think they have the money to buy it right now means is they haven't maxed out the credit limit. That doesn't mean you have the money to buy it. I'm not looking anywhere right now. We need to restrain ourselves from living so selfishly for ourselves. How about we start living for somebody other than ourselves? Instead of stopping and getting $20 at McDonald's, how about you stop and buy $20 worth of stuff for your family and come home and have a good night? Skip lunch and have a good time in the evening. There's not a person in here that's going to starve to death if you missed a meal. Most of us are reverse camels and the hump's on the front. Some of you are kind of those Arabian camels that got two humps there. You got so much hanging. I shouldn't have said that. That was too funny. Yeah. We just went to Midland, didn't we, Brother Mike? We need to quit living for the newest gadget. We have bought into the world's mentality that when the newest gadget or gadget for the phone or the computer or the whatever comes out, that we got to have it. I hate to disappoint you. We lived a long time with no telephone.
Amen.
You can live without the newest one.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Man, I'm having fun. I was glad when I went to the stable the other day. The old feller sitting down there, he said, "Now I got one of these things and I don't know what I'm doing with it." He pulls out his flip phone. He said, "I just learned how to use that one pretty good." He said, "What's a phone good for other than making a call anyway?" He said, "I don't get..." I said, "Well, buddy, I'm not..." I'll tell you how bad it was. I had to help him swipe my card with the thing. And I had to help get it done. And when I'm helping somebody with technology, it's bad. I thought, I need to video this and send it to my secretary right now. She would have a cow. We need to quit living the social media status. Can I tell you something? I don't care how many friends you have on Facebook. They're not your friends anyway. Most of them. I have people tell me all the time, "Your church isn't on Facebook." You're right. Well, how are people going to find you? Well, in just under 6 years, we've passed out 123,000 gospel tracts. Well, nobody's going to know where you're at. Well, they know where we're at, trust me. We need to live by biblical principle and learn to restrain ourselves. I got to hurry. God restrained the womb of Sarah. And she decided she was going to do it her way.
Big problem.
Abraham and Sarah weren't satisfied with God, with how God restrained them. Well, Ishmael was born, and the Ishmaelites are now the father and now the Muslim race that hates Christianity and the Jews. And the problem we have in the Middle East, the problem we have with the Taliban and ISIS and the rest of them are due to Abraham and Sarah not being restrained.
Right.
I'll close with this illustration. A young man's wealthy parents, they were worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Both of them perished in a car accident. They lived in a huge mansion, had businesses. The young man inherited all of it. He was a college-age young man. Found out that all the women wanted to get close to him for his money. He wanted to marry, but he wanted to find somebody that wanted him because of who he was, not because of what his bank account was. So, he loaded up an old junky car, took very little with him, and went down south and started working in a cotton mill. Never had worked a day in his life like that. He was about as awkward as could be. Beautiful young lady worked in this cotton mill, and she saw him struggling and walked over and said, "No, you need to do it this way. Let me help you." And she would help him as he was struggling to learn the work, and he would receive a minimal paycheck every week. But she began to help him, and of course a friendship ensued, and then he decided she liked him and he liked her. He asked her one day, "Could I take you out?" She said, "No, you'll have to go talk to my parents. You could come to my house and talk to them. But I don't go out with anybody that doesn't talk to my family, and my family doesn't approve first." So he met her dad. He met her mom. He began to build a relationship with them. And finally, one day, he asked her dad if he could marry her. They only had a little bit of savings, and he said, "That's fine." And they set a date, and she said, "You know, I've never been outside of the state." She said, "I'd like to take a train and go up north one day." She said, "Could we delay the wedding and work a little longer and have an extra special honeymoon?" He said, "We can do that." They prolonged the wedding by a few months so that they could earn some extra money. Now, let me remind you, he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. When she felt like they had earned enough, they got married. They got on the train. He said, "I know just where we're going." When they got off the train, a man met him and her and said, "May I take your bags?" And she said, "What are you doing?" He said, "It's okay." He said, I rented us a car." She said, "We can't afford that." He said, "It's okay." She said, "But what's he doing?" He said, "He's just taking our bags to the car. It's okay. Well, everything we have, everything we own are in those bags. It's okay." They went over to a limousine. She said, "What in the world have you done?" He said, "Look, we only get to do this once. Let's just," she said, "We're going to be bankrupt before we ever get to where we're going." He said, "Just get in. It'll be okay." The man took their bags and put them in the trunk, and they got in, and they went down through the fanciest neighborhoods of the city. She said, "What are we doing here?" He said, "I just want you to see it." She said, "You've never seen anything like this." And they were oohing and aahing. They pulled up this long, winding driveway and got to the biggest house, huge mansion. She said, "What are we doing stopping here?" He said, "I thought you'd want to see it." Got out of the car, and the man pulled the bags out of the trunk. She said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Honey, follow me for a minute." And they walked up long, huge staircase. Got to the top, and he pulled a key out of his pocket and unlocked the door. He picked his bride up, and he said, "Honey, you're home." She began to weep. She said, "I don't understand." He said, "I know you don't understand, and I've not told you everything." And as he carried his bride through the door, he told her how much he was worth, how that everything in that home was theirs. And he looked at her and said, "If you want your mom and your dad and your brothers and sisters to move here, it's fine. There's plenty of room. I'll take care of you the rest of your life. You'll never work again." There was a young man who restrained himself. Could have had anything money bought, but he restrained himself to find what God wanted for him.
Right.
We need to live with restraint, with character. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder how many of us need an area or many areas of our lives to be restrained.